Thank you, Brother Sides, for that beautiful song. And thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity to share some things that in this series that I believe need to be said in these days. And the series, of course, is Who Are You to Judge? And we hear that question a lot of times, don't we? Especially if you're a conservative Bible believer and you take a stand on issues, people say, well, who are you to judge? And so we're going to cover some of those things later on in the areas that I believe the Bible gives us the right and the responsibility to judge those particular things. Now tonight, the title of the message is Judge Not That You Be Not Judged. And I want to share some principles of the Word of God concerning judgment. There's a right kind, there's a wrong kind, and sometimes the motives are not right. But we want to deal with that up front, and then later we'll get into some of those areas concerning judgment. So if you have your Bible available, and I hope you have it there with you, turn to Matthew chapter 7. And stay in that chapter. We're going to be referring to some other verses, but our text verses are verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, the measurement you use, it shall be measured to you again. And so we'll talk about these principles in a moment, but let me give you an illustration of a situation where a teacher was teaching a ladies' Bible class. And as she was teaching the Bible class, she simply made this statement about a situation where this couple was living together and they were not married. And she said, I think it's wrong for people to sleep together in a relationship before they're married. Well, one of the young ladies that was visiting there stood up and said, so who are you to judge? And then she said to the lady, no one's perfect. You're not perfect. And you have no right to sit in judgment on someone else's morality. Well, we'll deal with that kind of thing as we go through this series. Now, there are a couple of responses to judging that carry it a little bit too far in different directions. One of those is there's just no judgment. We just don't judge. We don't think anything is wrong. We assume that everything's right, and there is no judgment and no judgment allowed in the individual life or judging anyone else. And then on the other side, we have another problem where their judgment is too harsh, is too cruel, is too self-serving. And we'll look at those two things. But that has to do with the wrong attitude and wrong motives when we judge that way. And I believe our text actually refers to both groups. Now, he's not teaching in these verses that we have no right for judgment. That's not what he's saying in these verses. And he's not saying to us that we ought to appease everybody and tolerate everything and fight for unity above all other things, and to be ecumenical in our attitude. The arguments that they use are like this. Unity is more important than truth. And another argument they have is this. Love is more important than doctrine. Well, I say they're wrong. Both of those statements are wrong. Now, in our immediate context, if you have your Bible there, look at verse 6, if you will, just to show you what is being talked about here in the very same chapter, in the very same context. In verse 6, he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Well, that's pretty strong, and it has to do with judgment. Who are the dogs and who are the pigs? You have to make a judgment in order to decide that you don't cast your pearl before the swine. And so that has something to do with where those people are coming from and the fact that they are wrong, and Jesus is saying you need to be sure that you don't do these things. Now in the more remote context, in verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets. Now folks, that's judgmental. Beware, watch out, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You have to make a judgmental determination in order to do that according to the Bible. And so he's saying they're false prophets and we can recognize them and we should avoid those prophets. In chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, something similar to that is stated. And he says in verse 21, still in chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And notice verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are those out there that it looks like they are of us, but God says they're not. They may do some miracles, and we'll get into that later too, but there's that kind of crowd that he's talking about, and he's saying we have the right to point out these false teachers and their false doctrines. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now he's talking about church discipline. And in order to discipline somebody and to help them out, then you have to make some judgmental calls, and that's something that is biblical. George Barna, in a survey, said 4 out of 10 Christian adults, 4 out of 10 use the Bible or church teaching for moral guidance. Well, that's a sad thing. It ought to be 10 out of 10. We ought to use the Bible for our moral guidance. And that is what we base it on. Now, what does the text mean? It means judge, but don't become a holier-than-thou, a pharisaical judge. And so we're going to talk about these things. How do we know what judgments to make? How do we know? And so let's look tonight at some of those principles. First of all, when we're going to judge, we must do it with humility, not superiority. Not an air of superiority. Not pharisaical. You remember the story, of course, of the prodigal son. And he came back home, and boy, his daddy was happy and thrilled and got him some new shoes and put on the robe and bring out the ring. And he was just so thrilled that his son had come home. A lot of times we don't hear much about the elder brother. We focus so much on the prodigal coming home. But the elder brother had this kind of pharisaical attitude. And he got mad. He said, well, I've been living here and I've been doing all of this and I never went out and wasted money. But you've never thrown a party for me. You've never killed the fatted calf for me. And see, he was very critical and had no mercy because of that kind of attitude that he had. The elder brother making fun of the prodigal and saying, Dad, you haven't been fair with me. He had an arrogant, pharisaical attitude. We don't need that. Matthew 7:3-4, backing up in that chapter, notice what he says. And he's giving instructions to you and to me as believers. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Here he's talking about this hypocrisy that can exist. One who is judging someone else, and they perhaps have this attitude, I've seen it in churches, where I'm the one that's sent by God to keep the church holy and to keep the church pure. And how am I going to do that? Well, even though I've got a 2x4 in my eye, I'm going to go around picking out these splinters, and some have said sawdust, out of your eyes. because I feel like that's my job to do. And the problem is that this guy has a 2x4. If you can feature walking in the halls around here in the church and somebody walking up to you with a 2x4 or a big piece of wood sticking out their eye and telling you, you need to straighten up, and here, let me get that splinter out of your eye, I don't think I'd want a surgeon like that, and I don't think I'd want anybody telling me that. And a lot of times what he's implying here is that they ignore their sin. They're picking on you and judging, but ignoring their sin. And I've seen it as a pastor that there are some people who live in two worlds. Same person living in two worlds. World number one, they would be a Sunday school teacher or maybe a deacon or maybe a leader in the church. But world number two, they're living in adultery and some addiction, and they're self-driven, materialist, and on we could speak about them. But that's one person. And I have had to deal with that over the years, 50 years in the ministry. And so they feel like if they can cut you down, and while they're living in their sin, they can look better. I heard this illustration, read this illustration about a couple that was counseling with their pastor. And as they were counseling, it came out that the bride-to-be had had some sexual involvement before they had gotten engaged. And so the groom told the pastor, I'm not marrying her. I absolutely will not marry her. I will not forgive her. And the wedding is off. And then the pastor, to be clear about everything, asked him, well, what about you? Did you have any sexual escapades before you were engaged to her? And he said, yes, I have, but that's different. Now, I don't know how that could be different. But he was being hypocritical about it. He was judging her, and yet he had sin in his own life. We remember about King David doing the very same thing. 2 Samuel 12:5-6. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Boy, he was judging him. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Well, he was talking about, he had given him the illustration of a rich man taking a poor man's little pet lamb and giving it to a stranger who was passing through when he had a lot of them. And David said, something ought to be done about that guy. That's not fair. And then Nathan said to David, David, you're the man. You're the one who did that. And so we have that kind of judgmental stuff going on. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He's saying it's all right to understand when they live in sin or they have sinned, but you need to help them out. They need to repent of that sin to be sure, so that the fellowship can be restored. And the purpose of discipline is always to restore. But he says, considering thyself, because you could also be tempted with the very same thing. So if we're going to judge, we need to judge with brokenheartedness, with humility, and not an arrogant superior attitude. Secondly, we need to judge based on facts, not presumptions. How many people make judgments on presumptions? They're quick to judge without any of the facts. They get a little bit of information, and with that little bit of information, boy, they go to bat, and their minds are made up before they find out the whole situation. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. He's simply saying you ought to know the facts before you state your opinion. And I think that's the way it is. And many times we work on presumptions, we don't know the facts, and we judge. The best thing to do is find out the facts, do the research, ask the questions, have some witnesses. 1 Timothy 5:19, listen to this verse. Against an elder, against a pastor, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. There should be facts and witnessing that could be brought up. I've had people come to me and one person and say, you need to do so-and-so. I think so-and-so is doing, living a life that's not right. And I would say, all right, where's the proof? Can we prove that? We can talk to them, but you need to have some proof. You need to know what you're talking about. So you go check it out and let me know. And sometimes they come back and said, no, I really didn't know the facts. I was just presuming. Thirdly, we need to judge words and actions. Get that now. Judge words and actions, not motives. Not their motives. You see, only God knows the motive of your heart and my heart. Only God knows the motive of my heart for being up here tonight, preaching. Only God knows that. A lot of people judge television evangelists and preachers when they ask for money. I remember years ago, Dr. Jerry Falwell, I had the privilege of knowing him, being his friend, riding around with him some. And a lot of people didn't like him because he would ask for money, and he did. He didn't hesitate to do that. But a lot of them thought he was a grafter, that he was doing it to get rich. First of all, he was already from a wealthy family. About half of Lynchburg is owned by the Falwells. And that wasn't his need. He was doing it for ministry. And I remember a lady, I was on the radio back then in Roanoke, Virginia, when I was a youth director, and our pastor was very ill. And so I did the radio broadcast, and a lady who heard it wrote me and said, do you know my pastor? Said he came by to see me the other day, and I said, Pastor, I can't see the TV program because I don't have a television. And she said, he went out and bought me one, brought it back, and gave me a television. And you see, that's not a selfish person who is just wanting money. And we have to be careful how we judge people's motives. Dr. Falwell, on one occasion, I remember, he took off a brand new coat, very expensive coat that his wife had given him, and a man was cold downtown Lynchburg, and he put it right on his back and gave it to him. And so be careful about motives, check and not knowing somebody's heart, assuming certain motives. It's okay, I think, to judge false prophets, and again, we'll speak to that issue later, who emphasize money all the time, just money, 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 and they're getting wealth and rich because of it. 2 Peter 2:3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, they really know how to use words, fancy words, feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Sounds to me like God says, I'm not real pleased with that, and it's going to catch up with them someday. Now, I believe we have the right to critique, or if you want to use the word criticize, doctrinal beliefs that are wrong and lifestyles that are wrong and many sinful behaviors that are wrong that the Bible clearly speaks about. But we have no right, I don't think, to really question people's motives when they are trying to do something for the Lord. Now, that was a mistake the devil made with Job. You see, the devil felt like Job had a wrong motive. And he pointed that out in Job 1:9-11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And now in verse 11, he says, the devil says, this is the way I see Job's motive. But put forth thine hand, speaking to God, put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? Job stayed true to God after he went through all that he went through, and you know the story. And yet he stayed faithful to God. And he lost everything, but he continued to serve God. So, let's be careful when we're judging about judging motives. Number four. Judge, and this is important, judge biblical issues, not preferences. A lot of us have our preferences, and they're not biblical preferences necessarily. Now, some things are always right. They're always right. It's always right to love one another. It's always right to hate evil. It's always right to do good to all men. And you could add many things to that. But some things are always wrong. And there's no doubt about it because the Bible says they are. Hate is wrong. Loving evil is wrong. Committing adultery is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Lying is wrong. And the Ten Commandments deal with a lot of that. And so some things are always right. Some things are always wrong. But some things are sort of in between. Are they good or are they evil? Well, that depends on the motive. It depends a lot on the motive and who will be affected by that freedom we may think we have. So there are some areas that are not exactly spelled out. Now, one illustration we have in the Bible is about eating meat. In Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And he was dealing with the problem there of some who didn't think it was right to eat meat, especially that was offered to idols and then sold later on. And then they were vegetarians. And then that issue was dealt with. Is it right to eat meat? Is it right to eat vegetables? Well, really, both of them were right. Because God gives latitude and liberty. So it's okay for me, but it may not necessarily be okay for you. And so what we have to watch out for is in our preferences that we do not become stumbling blocks and get into issues sort of like meat and these kind of things that they were dealing with. We have to be very careful about some of the things that we pass judgment on. Is it right for choirs to wear choir robes? Or is it wrong? Is it wrong for them not to? These are things the Bible doesn't spell out, and yet I've seen people feud and fight over many of those kind of things. So the question is this. Here's the question, and get this. What has God revealed? There's the question. What has God clearly revealed in His Word versus some of our preferences? So when we judge, here's what we need to ask. When we're going to judge a situation, what biblical truth is being denied? What biblical truth is being denied? And if we cannot find a biblical truth that is being denied, we really have no right to judge. Number five, judge things on a temporal basis, not eternal judgments. Again, getting back to those Pharisees, they were saying, you're not going to go to heaven and God does not love you. You don't do this. You don't do it our way. We have our judgment. And they even treated Jesus that way, of course. But only God has the right for the eternal judgment and the eternal things that go on. Now again, in our text, notice what he says. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. That's very powerful in our lives. Now what's the connection between those two things? Judge not that you be not judged, and you're going to be judged by those very same standards. Well, what I think the meaning of this is the measure we use for others, the measure we use for others is going to be used for us. We need to be careful about judging and being of that attitude and for the wrong reasons, because people are going to turn that right back around and it'll be used to judge us. A judgmental person usually is going to, when they fail, and they usually will, whenever they fail, they're going to be judged harshly. And people will say something like this, he got what he deserved, or she got exactly what she deserved, because they'd been so harsh on other people. For instance, a man who was judgmental to a Christian brother failed later on, and he got very little mercy when he failed because he had the very same sin in his life. Judge not that you be not judged. You're going to be judged by the same standard. Romans 2:1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest, doest the same things. You do some of the same things. And he's speaking primarily of the Pharisees. So here's sort of the bottom line. And there are two problems. On one hand, we are too quick to judge and to have no mercy. But on the other hand, another problem is that we never judge anything. We take the mantra that they have, live and let live. Whatever they want to do, don't say anything about it. You have no right to judge anybody, and don't judge themselves. They don't, and they don't judge others, usually because they have sin. Now, a preacher was preaching a series, and in this series, he was preaching, don't judge others for their failures and sins. And what he was saying, and let me make this plain here, he was saying, we know that there's some sin in the church, but we're not going to deal with it. Just leave it alone. We don't judge others for their failures and sins, known sin. And he used the terminology as some have used, we shoot our own soldiers, our own wounded. And sometimes we do that. But what he is saying is, if they have sin, we don't need to shoot them. We don't need to deal with it. Just leave it alone. And stating we all have shortcomings. And his whole emphasis was on love everything and love everybody. It turned out that this pastor, this is a true story, that this pastor, when he was preaching that series, was living in an adulterous relationship. And at the same time, he was saying, in essence, who are we to judge? Who are you to judge? And I think one reason he would take that position would be because he didn't want to be judged, made him feel better about his sin. Now, here's a statement, I hope you can get this. Making judgments lies at the heart of Christian living. Now, that's not a contradiction to what I've said, but it is a thing that we have to realize. Making judgments lies at the heart of Christian living. We must make judgments if we're going to be good Christians. We have to make some judgments. And we have to make some judgments concerning doctrine. We have to make some judgments concerning separation. We have to make some judgment concerning entertainment and many other things. So we're not claiming to be perfect. We don't claim perfection. We don't claim final judgment. That's not us. We don't claim to be above those that we judge. We're all sinners, saved by the grace of God. But here's what we do claim. We claim we are commanded to study the Bible, to study the Scriptures. I think we'd all agree with that. We're to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. So we're commanded to study the Bible. Now, when we study the Bible, we're going to find the truth about two simple things. Two simple things, and this sort of summarizes it. What does God want us to believe? What does God want us to believe? And how does God want us to live? How does He want us to live? And I think we have the responsibility to live by those truths that God reveals in His Word, and we're to encourage other people to live by those truths. We have the right and we have the responsibility to judge. And I want to quote in closing out Warren Wiersbe. Warren Wiersbe, of course, is home with the Lord now, but much of his material is available. And he said this, Jesus did not forbid us to judge others, for careful discrimination is essential in the Christian life. Let that sink in. Careful discrimination, judgment, judging things is essential in the Christian life. Christian love is not blind. Christian love is not blind. And Paul backed that up in Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And he said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve, that's judgmental stuff, approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And in closing, may I simply say, as Bible-believing Christians, I believe we have the right and the responsibility when we've studied this book and it says certain things are right and certain things are wrong, we have the right and responsibility to judge based on the Bible. Now, in the next few messages in this series, I'm going to deal with some of the things that we have the right to judge. Doctrine, morality, other religions, false prophets. We'll get into a number of those things as we look at it. But we need to realize tonight that we cannot assume the position of not judging at all. But if we're going to judge, we need to be loving, kind, and do it in the right way. But there are some things it is absolutely necessary, and we have the right to judge. And I hope you'll look at your life as we go through these things, and if there's something that doesn't belong there, the Bible points out, get rid of it. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you to trust Him as your Savior. Because if not, when you go from this life before God, one of these days, you will be at the great white throne judgment. And it'll be too late for you unless you get saved. I would encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God and the Scriptures that teach us. And Lord, we know that we have a responsibility to be right and to see things that you've pointed out clearly in the Word of God. Things that we should judge in our own lives, things we should avoid, and things that we should teach and point out to others. And I pray that you'd help us always to do whatever we do in a loving fashion, but knowing that just because we love, it doesn't mean we have to accept everything that is out there, because you don't, and your Word teaches us we shouldn't. Help us to judge that which is important, that which is biblical, and that which would glorify you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.